Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Bible Study. As you can hear, these are recorded live during our Sunday morning worship, which currently we're meeting inside this winter. We appreciate your support of this ministry, and we hope that you find these podcasts beneficial to your spiritual growth. God bless, and let's get to the message. Because if you want to start turning your Bibles, we're looking in the book of Lamentations. And I don't know how often you hear messages from the book of Lamentations. I don't hear very many. But if you're struggling to find it, it's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And that's kind of where it fits chronologically as well. Because to give you a brief history. So the Psalms were, a lot of them, written by King David, about half of them. And David is the high point of Israelite history of the Old Testament. Jeremiah comes in ticking at the very bottom of history of the Israelite people. Because what David had accomplished, both militarily and economically and spiritually, crashed to its worst in the days of Jeremiah. And it wasn't his fault. He was a faithful man of God who proclaimed God's message to a hard-hearted people who refused to listen. He knew the consequences of their rebellion, warned them of it, and they refused to turn. And so he saw what God had foretold in the days of Moses, the consequences of departing from God, the curse of sin, fall upon this people in the full weight. It's the picture of when you hear about the wrath of God, this is one of those examples. God allowing sin and sinful people to bear the full consequences, in this mortal plane at least, of their sin, of rebellion against God, life away from God. It is hard, it is cruel, it is destructive. Their nation no longer existed. Their capital city, the beautiful Jerusalem, was destroyed. Walls, buildings, all. The royal priesthood, or the royal family, wiped out. Only a few survivors exiled in Babylon. The beautiful temple that Solomon had built, leveled and destroyed. The priesthood, who was to be the guardians of that worship of God, killed and exiled. All Jeremiah could see was just complete and utter destruction. He knew it was coming. He warned them. And it happened. And I'll put yourself in his shoes there for a minute. Because he wasn't watching on the sidelines. He endured their punishment too. In prison, in dungeons, and losing everything. He endured their punishment with them. How would you feel? Would you be kind of frustrated at those people, perhaps? Probably a little frustrated. Would you feel, you know, kind of the, do you know any of those people that are the, I told you so. I told you this would happen. Maybe some of us would be tempted to be that way. But what's interesting to me, and it's really comes out in the book of Lamentations, is that Jeremiah isn't either one of those. He's not bitter at them. He's not angry with them. He grieves with them. He mourns for them. His heart is broken. Even though they brought it upon themselves, even though he suffered because of them, he mourns with them. That's the lament of Jeremiah. And that's an example to us just in and of itself. Jeremiah was a godly man who suffered unjustly because of others, and he mourns for them instead of himself. He mourns as one of them, and not for the injustice, but because of the justice, knowing God's justice was right and right. And so that's the book of Jeremiah, or book of Jeremiah and Lamentations. But Lamentations is one more thing as well. As he processes the grief, he writes poetry. Can you imagine? Remember how we said Psalm 119 was an acrostic? It went through the Hebrew alphabet? That's what Lamentations is. So in the process of his grief, it's not out of control emotions. He is processing it very methodically. You know, John David brought out the right-left brain contrast. He's doing both at the same time as he processes his grief in a very methodical, analytical way, in a most artistic way as well. And in the middle of Lamentations is a point in which he gives us some help in knowing how he does that. And so Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to just jump into the very middle here. And I'm going to start in verse 16, and I'm going to read through verse 33. It's kind of hard to grab that context, but that's what we're going to grab. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 16. And if you are able, would you stand with me out of respect for God's word? Jeremiah writes, "He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You've moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." Let's pause for prayer. Father, we're thankful for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for each one that participates. We pray, Lord, for the children's chapel, and just and thankful for those that make that possible, and guide and provide in there through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and guide and provide through your Holy Spirit in here, that my words and thoughts would accurately teach your word in an understandable way. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would stir in hearts there and in here, that the lost would be saved, that lives would be transformed, and that your name would be praised. We thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege of worshiping together, of having the liberty to praise your name. Thank you for loving us. Great is your faithfulness. And in the name of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So you kind of get a picture of that roller coaster that he's on, didn't you? He had no hope as he hits there in verse 18. You know, it's just, he has hit the bottom. It's, you know, he compares it to just chewing on gravel and covered with ashes. He is so far removed from any peace or shalom, wholeness in his life, that my strength and my hope, they're gone. My strength and my hope are gone.
God has just destroyed us. He searches for a train of thought that would lift him up, and yet he thinks of his affliction and his displaced and the bitterness of all that's happened to him. And he remembers his soul sinks within him. So you get the picture, right? And that's what makes the next turn so abrupt, right? And then he thinks a little more, and then he calls to mind something that gives him hope. What is it? It's the character of God. Wait a minute. I'm looking at my circumstances, and it is awful. I have no home. I have no food. I have no means of changing that. I have nothing. I have no hope, no strength, no vitality. What do I have? Check your inventory, right? And what does he have? I still have God. Oh, but God was really mad at me. God was really mad at all of us. Do I have hope there? Then it's when you go back to, but who is God? And that's where he unpacks for us. Verse 22. It's through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. The Lord's mercies there, that word is one of the hardest words in the Hebrew language to translate because there's not an English word equivalent. But you'll see it translated, his steadfast love, his covenant love, his loving kindness, his mercy. It is the fact that God in his very nature desires to make promises and keep them for our good and for his glory. That it is him and his love for us. That's why we still exist. That's why we're not consumed and destroyed. Because his compassions fail not. As a mother for her child. No, stronger than that is his compassion. It just comes out of him. How do we know that? Well, remember last year when we were looking in Exodus? You'd think I would, this is the only thing I've ever studied is Exodus 34. But it just keeps showing up. Those words are embedded there. Right after the children of Israel had rebelled against God at Mount Sinai, within 40 days of hearing God give the Ten Commandments, they broke all the Ten Commandments. And what is their one hope? And God says, this is your hope. I am the Lord your God. And I am a God of compassion. I am a God who, more than a mother for her child, I have compassion for you. He says, I am a God who is gracious. I look and want to give favor to those who need it. Not deserve it, but who need it. I am a God who is slow to anger. It took him centuries to get to this point of seeing what Jeremiah had seen. He is a God who is abundant in covenant love and faithfulness. That's what he told Moses there. And Moses uses that, and the prophets who followed Moses use that every time they go to intercede to God on the behalf of the children of Israel. It's not because, well, you know, they're really good people, God. No, they're not. They weren't good people. It was because God is really good that they had hope. And that's what gives Jeremiah. This is what Jeremiah calls to mind, and he realizes, I do have hope. It's because the Lord's mercies are not consumed. His compassions will not fail. They are new every morning. There are new morning mercies. They may have endured his judgment, his discipline. But that's not who God is. That's what God has to do
because he's a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. But what God is, he says, is a God of compassion and grace, slow to anger, covenant love, and faithfulness. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the thrice holy, holy, holy. He is the one who's going to punish sin and make all things right. But those things, his wrath may endure through the night, but there will be joy in the morning because of his mercy. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And that idea, the Lord is my portion, goes back also to the old covenant with Moses. Because remember, we always talk about the 12 tribes, right? The hidden secret is there's actually 13. Because there's the tribe of Levi. They didn't get an allotment. They didn't get a portion of the land, did they? They got some cities kind of scattered amongst everybody else. But what was their portion? God told them, I am your portion. And this is kind of the funny thing. You may say I'm stretching here a little bit. But Jeremiah now realizes that, oh, that's all I have. I don't have any land. I don't have a house. We don't even have the promised land anymore. We've been kicked out of it. What do I? I don't have anything. No. The Lord is my portion. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things of today, they'll be added unto you. And God becomes our portion, then that's where we find our hope. Because he's the faithful one. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And there he says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Remember when we were in Psalm 46? Be still and know that I am surrender to him. Wait. Seek after him. If my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Seek his face. Turn from their wicked ways. And I don't know if you think about this, but all the verses that I just quoted are, except for the Sermon on the Mount, are before Jeremiah. And he's recalling those things. That's how he knows who God is. And so that's where, in some ways, what we're looking at today is a practical example of what we talked about last week. How shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Is that Jeremiah, in the midst of horrible circumstances, had hidden God's word in his heart. And it had not only kept him clean, kept him from the sins of his culture around him. But it had also kept him faithful, and that was where he found his hope when all went bad. Because notice there in verses 26 through 33, you know, it's talking about it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, even if there is hard times to come, the yoke in his youth.
and keeps, you know, let him sit alone, keep silent. It's him who laid it on him. You can even put your mouth in the dust. You can even be defeated by this world, it feels like. And yet there's still hope. You can be humiliated and done wrong, Jeremiah says. But remember, the Lord doesn't cast off forever. Even if those bad things that are happening to us are our fault, he says, you can still hope in God. I mean, just dig into that for a minute. Because a lot of times we feel like, oh, it was all wrong, and it wasn't my fault. And that may make you kind of feel good for a while. But the reality is we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And more of our messes are our messes and not someone else's mess that we just got stuck in. And even in that point, we can still run to God knowing that God won't punish forever. God won't discipline us forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to what? The multitude of his covenant love. It just comes out of him. He delights. God has, I'm going to borrow some from later in the Old Testament now. What is it he says in Ezekiel? That God does not delight in the punishment of the wicked. He does it because he has to. He's a just God. What he delights in is when people repent and come back to him. That's what gets him excited. Jesus said it got him excited. There is joy in the presence of the angels. Not that the angels are rejoicing. Did you notice the difference? The angels are watching someone rejoice every time a sinner comes to repentance. Well, who are the angels watching? God rejoicing every time a sinner comes to repentance. It's the devil who tells us, you better hide from God because you're in big trouble. It's the devil who tells you that. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is saying, run to the Father. Run to the Father. Because he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. He does not afflict willingly. It is not his pleasure to grieve the children of men to do that. But God loves us too much to let us continue in sin. He loves us too much to let us continue into things that hurt us. Because he knows better than we do what hurts us. He knows us better than we know us. And so the gracious God, he says, this is who I am. This is how to endure those hard times. And we've got it really good. I mean, if you don't realize that, watch the news again. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering unimaginably so. And not just in the Ukraine, but in other parts of the world. We pray for them. We seek opportunities to help them. But even when my vision gets kind of small, and honestly, woe is me, it's been really rough. And it has been, and compared to other times in my life, I may feel that way. You may feel that way. But the reality is that it's been pretty good. But even in those hard times, let us look and remember, just as Jeremiah taught us here, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And another little lesson that comes with that is, and that's in the book of Lamentations, buried between two really hard books to read. I don't know if you've tried reading through Jeremiah recently. It's the longest word-for-word book of the
Bible, and it's depressing. I'm just being honest with you. It's depressing. Ezekiel's not a whole lot better. He's dealing with the people who did get exiled, but their hearts didn't change. Those guys had two of the hardest jobs right up there with Moses. But as we see here, God gave them hope in order that we know that if we seek for God, we'll find his hope as well. So don't give up on your Bible reading. Don't give up on God. He's got these treasures for us. And so we're going to have a song of invitation. And the invitation is just, you know, if you don't have a relationship with this God, you're missing out. And maybe, I don't know hearts. If it's to get saved, get saved. Maybe you've been saved and maybe you just need that little reminder. God, I do need to know your word better. I want to get in that. This is an opportunity to commit ourselves to that. I just want to grow in you, God. I want to have that kind of relationship where I can be pure and faithful for you, God, in the midst of a wicked generation. I want to shine as a light for you, God. Well, this is how he did it, because he knew his God. But whatever the Spirit is prompting this morning, will you stand and will you obey as the Spirit prompts today?
Page 380.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Diamond on the black velvet, it really pops, doesn't it?